all about us rage undeclared wars, military and economic. All about us grow more deadly armaments, military and economic. All about us are threats of new aggressions, military and economic. There comes a time in the affairs of men when they must prepare to defend not their homes alone, but the tenets of faith and humanity on which their churches, their governments, and their very foundations are set. The defense of religion, of democracy, and of good faith among nations is all the same fight. To save one, we must now make up our minds to save all. And we know what might happen to us of the United States if the new philosophies of force were to encompass the other continents and invade our own. We, no more than other nations, can afford to be surrounded by the enemies of our faith and our humanity. Fortunate it is, therefore, that in this Western Hemisphere, we have under a common ideal of democratic government a rich diversity of resources and of peoples functioning together in mutual respect and peace. That hemisphere, that peace, and that ideal we propose to do our share in protecting against storms from any quarter. Our people and our resources are pledged to secure that protection, and from that determination, no American flinches.
Und das, wenn diese gequälten Kreaturen kein Recht und keine Hilfe selbst finden können, sie beides von uns bekommen werden.
Arriveranno ad una conclusione anche perché in un fatto estremamente attuale qual è la guerra di Spagna, noi siamo ai lati opposti della barricata. Essi desiderano la vittoria di Barcellona, noi viceversa desideriamo e vogliamo la vittoria di Franco.
We cannot forget that whilst it takes at least two to make a peace, one can make a war. And so, until we can come to clearer understandings when all political tension is swept away, we must be in a position to defend ourselves from attack, whether that attack be on our land, our people, or upon those principles of freedom in which our existence as a democracy is bound up, and which seem to us to enshrine the highest attributes of human life and human spirit. It is for this purpose, for the purpose of defense and not of attack, that we are pursuing with unrelenting vigor the rearmament of this country, and that we are pursuing it with the full approval of the people.
An endless column of open cars, dirty gray juggernauts, mud splashed with frozen snow clotted on the windscreens, and robot-like figures of men sitting in them with empty faces of stone under gray steel helmets and goggles, with light machine guns held between their knees, pointing upward toward the rooftops and windows and sideways at the crowds which lined the streets, and little motorcycles dashing ahead to clear the path, and here and there a tank, an armored car, a lorry with infantry. And then suddenly the whole column stopped. Just a couple of hundred yards up the road, a tank had come stuck. It hadn't broken down. It had had to stop. For between that tank and the other cars, the people had suddenly surged forward and formed a barricade of human bodies. Civilians in black coats and in yellow Macintoshes, men and women, even children. And there they stood, solidly facing the German tank, holding each other by the hand, and they sang the Hroma Peklo, the age-old song of Slav defiance, which had always been hummed in secret by the Czechs while they lived under the tyranny of the Habsburgs. It went, Hroma Peklo, thunder and hell, your rage is in vain. The Slav tongue shall live, our name will remain. So long as our hearts for the nation will beat, we don't care how many Germans we meet. Even if they're as numerous as devils in hell, God will protect us. And the people cried it into the faces of the conquerors. Thunder and hell, your rage is in vain. The refrain rose up from the streets. And the low gray clouds poured snow down onto the square of St. Wenceslas. The commanding officer of the German tank column called for the police. The Czech police had to push back the Czech people. And meanwhile, the loudspeakers went on crying, citizens, remain calm. Citizens, avoid bloodshed. But the women in the streets shouted at the Germans, clear out, you swine. This is our country. We'll kick you out before you know it. The police struggled with the crowd. Some of the policemen tore their uniforms off and joined the people. But the people were unarmed. This was not resistance. Just demonstration.
The facts as they are today do not change the facts as they were last September. If I was right then, I am still right now. Then there are some who say, we considered you were wrong in September, and now we have been proved to be right. Well, let me examine that. Ladies and gentlemen, when I decided to go to Germany, I never expected that I was going to escape criticism. Indeed, I didn't go there to get popularity. I went there first and foremost because in what appeared to be an almost desperate situation, that seemed to me to offer the only chance of averting a European war. I may remind you that when it was first announced that I was going, not a voice was raised in criticism. Yeah. Everyone applauded that effort. And it was only later, when it appeared that the results of the final settlement fell short of the expectations of some who had not fully appreciated the facts. It was only then that the attack began. And even then, it was not the visit. It was the terms of settlement that were disapproved. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I have never denied that the terms which I was able to secure at Munich were not those that I myself would have desired. But as I explained then, I had to deal with no new problem. This was something which had existed ever since the Treaty of Versailles. A problem that ought to have been solved long ago. Yeah. If only the statesmen of the last 20 years had taken broader and more enlightened views of their duties. It has become like a disease that has been long neglected, and a surgical operation was necessary to save the life of the patient. But ladies and gentlemen, after all, the first and the most immediate object of my visit was achieved. Peace of Europe was saved. And if it had not been for those visits, hundreds of thousands of families would today have been in mourning for the flower of Europe's best manhood. I do not believe there is anyone who will question my sincerity when I say there is hardly anything I would not sacrifice for peace. But there is one thing that I must accept, and that is the liberty that we have enjoyed for hundreds of years. Yeah. And which we will never surrender. Feel called upon to make such a declaration today, that is the measure of the extent to which these events have shattered the confidence that was just beginning to show its head, and which, if it had been allowed to grow, might have made this year memorable for the return of all Europe to sanity and stability. I feel bound to repeat that while I am not prepared to engage this country by new, unspecified commitments operating under conditions which cannot now be foreseen, yet no greater mistake could be made than to suppose that because it believes war to be a senseless and a cruel thing, This nation has so lost its fiber that it will not take part to the utmost of its power. In resisting such a challenge, if it ever were made. And for that declaration, I'm convinced that I have not merely the support, the sympathy, the confidence of my own fellow countrymen and countrywomen, but I shall have also the approval of the whole British Empire. And of all other nations who value peace indeed, but who value freedom even more.
Si è compreso a Belgrado che la presenza dell'Italia in Albania non nasconde la benché minima intenzione di ostilità verso la Jugoslavia. È vero invece il contrario, e cioè che dalla nuova vicinanza i due paesi amici trarranno, come nei nostri desideri, ulteriori elementi di solidarietà e di stretta collaborazione. Ed è in questo spirito che tra pochi giorni avrà luogo a Venezia un mio incontro col ministro degli esteri jugoslavo.
Si nous étions restés passifs, si le pays était demeuré inerte, si le gouvernement n'avait pas pris ses responsabilités, les affirmations de nos voix ne seraient bientôt plus qu'une vaine rhétorique, tandis qu'aujourd'hui, notre force est plus grande qu'elle ne le fut jamais. La force française, savez-vous bien ce qu'elle est? Elle est cet ensemble d'armées magnifiques, dont les chefs et les hommes, instruits par...
The whole of our national finances at the present time are governed and controlled by our defense expenditure. If it was not that we had to incur this enormous outlay for defense, we should be able to reduce taxation and to increase social benefits all around. But as it is, we have to bear enormous burdens in order to make Britain safe and strong, and to enable her to use her full influence for world peace. I will not trouble you with many figures, but note these three totals, which show more clearly than anything else the size of the burden we are all carrying. 2 years ago, our defense expenditure within the year was 265 million. Last year, it was 400 million. This year, it will be at least 630 million. It is hardly possible for any of us to appreciate what vast figures like these really mean. 630 million.
A year ago, we had undertaken no specific commitments on the continent of Europe beyond those which had then for some considerable time existed and which are familiar to you all. Today, we are bound by new agreements for mutual defense with Poland
and with Turkey,
We have guaranteed assistance to Greece and Romania against the aggression, and we are now engaged with the Soviet government in a negotiation to which I hope there may shortly be a successful issue with... with a view to associating them with us for the defense of states in Europe whose independence and neutrality may be threatened. We have assumed obligations and are preparing to assume more with full understanding of their causes and with full understanding of their consequences. For we know that if the security and independence of other countries are to disappear, our own security and our own independence may be gravely threatened, and we know that if international law and order is to be preserved, we must be prepared to fight in its defense.
This is the regional program. Here is the fourth news, copyright reserved. The German wireless announced tonight the German government's reply to a British communication and gave the German government's proposals for a settlement of the Polish problem in the following 16 points. Point 1. The free city of Danzig should return to the Reich unconditionally and forthwith on account of its purely German character and the unanimous will of its population. Point 2. The corridor should decide itself whether it desires to belong to Germany or Poland. For this purpose, a plebiscite should be held. Point 3. Those entitled to vote in this plebiscite would be all Germans and Poles who had been resident in the corridor since the 1st of January 1918 or had been born there. All Germans expelled from the corridor or forced to leave would return in order to cast their votes. Point 4. In order to guarantee... The German announcer who read out these proposals concluded by saying, "The Führer and the German government have waited for 2 days in vain for a reply to these proposals and therefore regard these proposals as practically rejected."
Someone had to be the first to dare to say no to Herr Hitler and bear the consequences. In spite of the untold sufferings endured in the last week by the Polish nation, no one in Poland regrets the fateful decision made by the government when it refused to submit to Hitler's tyranny. In saying no to the demands of an enemy intent on destroying Poland, the Warsaw government did not make a diplomatic move or a decision based on political calculations. It did no more
then express the will of the whole people, which knew that there could be no other reply. The case of Poland is crystal clear, and that is why it has universal support throughout the world.
Diesen Augenblick erleben nicht nur Sie in tiefster Ergriffenheit, es erlebt Ihnen das ganze deutsche Volk. Ich selbst bin mir der Größe dieser Stunde bewusst. Ich betrete zum ersten Mal einen Boden, der von deutschen Siedlern ein halbes Jahrtausend vor der Zeit in Besitz genommen worden war, da die ersten Weißen sich im heutigen Staat New York niederließen. Ein halbes Jahrtausend länger ist dieser Boden deutsch gewesen, war deutsch geblieben und wird, dessen können alle überzeugt sein, deutsch bleiben.
This is London. The following official communique has been issued from 10 Downing Street. On September the 1st, His Majesty's ambassador in Berlin was instructed to inform the German government that unless they were prepared to give His Majesty's government in the United Kingdom satisfactory assurances that the German government had suspended all aggressive action against Poland and were prepared promptly to withdraw their forces from Polish territory, His Majesty's government in the United Kingdom would, without hesitation, fulfill their obligations to Poland. At 9 a.m. this morning, His Majesty's ambassador in Berlin informed the German government that unless, not later than 11 a.m. British summer time, today, September the 3rd, satisfactory assurances to the above effect had been given by the German government and had reached His Majesty's government in London, a state of war would exist between the two countries as from that hour. His Majesty's government are now awaiting the receipt of any reply that may be made by the German government. The Prime Minister will broadcast to the nation at 11:15. That is the end of the announcement. This is London. You will now hear a statement by the Prime Minister.
I am speaking to you
from the Cabinet Room at 10 Downing Street. This morning, the British ambassador in Berlin handed the German government a final note stating that unless we heard from them by 11 o'clock that they were prepared at once to withdraw their troops from Poland, a state of war would exist between us. I have to tell you now that no such undertaking has been received and that consequently this country is at war with Germany. You can imagine what a bitter blow it is to me that all my long struggle to win peace has failed. Yet I cannot believe that there is anything more or anything different that I could have done and that would have been more successful. Up to the very last, it would have been quite possible to have arranged a peaceful and honorable settlement between Germany and Poland. But Hitler would not have it. Now may God bless you all, and may He defend the right. For it is evil things that we shall be fighting against. Brute force, bad faith, injustice, oppression, and persecution. And against them, I am certain that the right will prevail.
Closing of places of entertainment. All cinemas, theatres, and other places of entertainment are to be closed immediately until further notice. In the light of experience, it may be possible to allow the reopening of such places in some areas. They are being closed because if they were hit by a bomb, large numbers would be killed or injured. Sports gatherings and all gatherings for purposes of entertainment and amusement, whether outdoor or indoor, which involve large numbers congregating together, are prohibited until further notice. This refers especially to gatherings for purposes of entertainment. But people are earnestly requested not to crowd together unnecessarily in any circumstances. Churches and other places of public worship will not be closed.
We're on number 12 platform, the train's in, and the children are just arriving, coming along in their school groups with a banner in front saying what school they are. This lot, St. John's School, Walworth, which is south of the river, and then they follow behind. The tiny tots in front, leading up to the bigger ones, the 12, 13-year-olds behind. And here comes a high school, more like 14, 15, and 16. They're being evacuated too. But just for a moment, until we get them settled in their carriages, and I can get them to talk to you, they and the teachers who are with them, I'll try and give you a quick background to their day. They heard yesterday, somewhere about midday, that they were to evacuate. And then there was a scurry and a hurry. Mothers getting clean clothes for their children. Near the end of the week, that's not always so easy. Getting the food ready, finding them satchels, ironing frocks for the girls, getting out greatcoats that have been put away for the summer for the boys, and spending their money on choice bits of food that they could take with them when they reported at their schools this morning. Some of them reported, I don't see these children here, but we'll find out about that later. You can hear them chattering as they come by. Some of them reported very early at their schools, as early as 5 o'clock. And then they were told, the mothers, I suppose, were there to say goodbye to them. The mothers were told that they couldn't go any further with them, and off they marched, perhaps to an underground station, perhaps to a bus station, to entrain, if it was an underground station, or to embus for the terminus, Waterloo Station. None of them knew then, and none of them know now, actually where they are going to. Are you going with them?
Yes.
Tell us now how many you've got to look after here.
I've got 141 children and 16 people helping. They've come from one of the poorest districts in London, very near the famous Elephant and Castle, which no doubt many people have heard. They're all merry and bright. We haven't had a single child crying. And I think really in my heart they're looking forward to this little adventure because many of them have never seen the country before.
I was in the third class dining room on Sunday night. I had been dreadfully sick all day and had just finished a very light supper when the man next to me said, "I think I'll set my watch." I was just in the process of setting my own watch when the loud crash of the explosion came and the support in the dining room, which was practically beside me, came crashing down, Dishes went flying all over the place. Lights were extinguished immediately. The boat lurched to the port side and everyone went hurtling across the floor. The fumes were so thick that we thought we would be asphyxiated, and the smell was something terrible. Everyone was crying, "Oh, my God!" And we never really expected to see daylight. Somehow, I will never know how, I reached the stairs, being separated from my friends in the meantime. When I got up on deck, on the port side, I should say about a mile away, I saw a column of smoke which I took to be from the submarine.
This nation will remain a neutral nation. But I cannot ask that every American remain neutral in thought as well. Even a neutral has a right to take account of facts. Even a neutral cannot be asked to close his mind or close his conscience. I have said not once, but many times, that I have seen war and that I hate war. I say that again and again. I hope the United States will keep out of this war. I believe that it will. And I give you assurance and reassurance that every effort of your government will be directed toward that end. As long as it remains within my power to prevent, there will be no blackout of peace in the United States.
You cannot pass from peace industry into war production without dislocation. I am here tonight to say that the government is doing its utmost to mitigate this dislocation. And insofar as the change has created unemployment, to point out to you what the Prime Minister said 2 days ago in Parliament. Our war effort, so he told you, is to be the maximum effort of the whole country. It will be not less than our war effort in the peak year of the war in 1918. In such an effort, there will be no room for idle hands. Gigantic programs are every day gathering momentum. As I study them, I am certain that at no distant date there is scarcely an able-bodied man or woman whose services the country will not need. I say particularly that all our men and women will be needed. But never, I am sure, will there have been so great a demand for women workers. Be patient, therefore. If you have sought war work and have not yet found it, the war work will soon be seeking you. Yes, the job will be looking for you, and not you for the job.
I cannot forecast to you the action of Russia. It is a riddle wrapped in a mystery, inside an enigma. But perhaps there is a key. That key is Russian national interest. It cannot be in accordance with the interest or the safety of Russia that Germany should plant itself upon the shores of the Black Sea, or that it should overrun the Balkan states and subjugate the Slavonic peoples of southeastern Europe. That would be contrary to the historic life interests of Russia.
I walked this morning along a grass bank that marks the extreme limit of the area occupied by British troops. The mainstay of this line is, of course, the larger type of blockhouse, a huge pillbox, which I can perhaps best call a small fort. It has walls which render it proof against practically any form of direct hit, steel doors and shutters of the greatest strength, and apertures for its guns which give a wide field of fire. From inside, I looked this morning over the whole area by periscope. In this case, an instrument that shows so little of its exposed length as to be almost immune from any shelling or bombing. The crew of such a fort have water pumped from the ground and a generous supply of food. They can live and sleep inside indefinitely, but according, of course, to the amount of rations provided, and they can put up a withering blast of fire that may yet come as a nasty shock to enemy tank officers.
I am the commander of this blockhouse in the battalion sector, about the most important one of the lot, I think. We are feeling very safe inside here, and if all our requirements shall be cut off from our own troops. I could not wish for a better place nor a better set of men to work with, and so long as we are inside this big piece of concrete, I have nothing to fear, and I can't see how it can be captured. I, for one, would never like to have to attack it.
You know, I have not always agreed with Mr. Chamberlain, though we have always been personal friends. But he is a man of very tough fiber, and I can tell you that he is going to fight as obstinately for victory as he did for peace. Can I say more? You may take it absolutely for certain that either all that Britain and France stand for in the modern world will go down, or that Hitler, the Nazi regime, and the recurring German or Prussian menace to Europe will be broken and destroyed. That is the way the matter lies, and everybody had better make up their minds to that solid, somber fact. As you may have noticed, General Goering, I beg pardon, Field Marshal Goering, who is one of the few Germans who has been having a pretty good time for the last 2 years, says that we have been spared so far because Nazi Germany is so humane. They cannot bear to do anything to hurt anybody. All they ask for is the right to live, and to be let alone to conquer and kill the weak. Their humanity forbids them to apply severities to the strong. Well, it may be true, but when we remember the bestial atrocities they have committed in Poland, we do not feel we wish to ask for any favors to be shown to us. We shall do our duty as long as we have life and strength. I have the sensation and also the conviction that that evil man over there and his cluster of Confederates are not sure of themselves as we are sure of ourselves, that they are harassed in their guilty souls by the thought and by the fear of an ever-approaching retribution for their crimes and for the orgy of destruction in which they have plunged us all. As they look out tonight from their blatant, clattering, panoplied Nazi Germany, they cannot find one single friendly eye in the whole circumference of the globe. Not one. The whole world is against Hitler and Hitlerism. Men of every race and clime feel that this monstrous apparition stands between them and the forward move which is their due, and for which the age and times are ripe. Even in Germany itself, there are millions who stand aloof from the seething mass of criminality and corruption constituted by the Nazi party machine. Let them then take courage amid perplexities and perils. For it may well be that the final extinction of a baleful domination will pave the way to a broader solidarity of all the men in all the lands than we ever could have planned if we had not marched together through the fire.
On the 2nd of September, I was driving a number 2 bus from Finchley to West Norwood. En route, my conductor was called to the colors, as he was a reservist. And as I couldn't go on without a conductor, I returned to the garage. I finished my day at 1 o'clock on the Saturday morning and was told to report later that day for ambulance duty. Well, I didn't do very much on the Saturday except have a look around this coach, which had been converted into an ambulance. The next day, war was declared.